Hey, welcome to a frigid Wednesday morning on WDAY Talk of the Town with John Adams. So last week we were talking about accountability and what's happening in our nation's capital, and I said that I was going to have some bullet points for Project 2025 and how closely the Trump administration is aligned with that objective. And we're going to cover that ad nauseum at some point in the show, but I want to preface it with a couple things. So first of all, you have to remember when we talk about Project 2025, this is actually a program that was started at the beginning of the first Trump administration. And the idea was to bring back conservative values to the United States. And I find it interesting that conservative values, it's almost like they took all the things that you should do as a human being and labeled them as conservative values. And I think it's just funny that the conservative side thinks that being a good person, being fiscally responsible, is conservative in nature. No, that's just called good business or being a good person or being a good entity. So I just think it's funny that people can hijack certain concepts and label them their own, and everybody just goes, oh, yeah, that's what it is. But I can tell you that looking at our government as a whole, I'm still waiting to see conservative values play out in any form in the government. And it's all it's gauged on the eye test, okay? Now, our government is overspending at an alarming rate, you know? COVID notwithstanding, we understand the COVID numbers, but let's face it, our government is very wasteful, and it has been for a very long time. I can remember being back in high school and my teacher talking about a hammer, $700 hammers and $500 toilet seats and all that. We all know that the government is wasteful and something needs to be done. Frankly, I'm excited that something's being done, but at the same time, the numbers need to make sense. If you fire 100,000 people and you tell me that you saved us $1 billion by doing so, you got to show me that math. You know what I'm saying? You can't just tell me, well, we did this and here's the number. And I'm leading up to what I think is essential into what we're seeing, okay? We see a lot of, I call it downsizing, and if we're running the country as a business, there's one thing we have to keep in mind. In business, when you're trying to make your margin numbers, the first thing you do, one of the biggest places that you can save money is salaries. That's the controllable, and that's what we're seeing in the government today is we're controlling the controllables, okay? Cost of goods, that's going to fluctuate. Markets, that's going to change things. You know, things that you can't really gauge, the cost of goods, all of that, those are things that are kind of unpredictable. But I can tell you, as a business owner, you always look at your bottom line salaries. And so we see, and we know this, there are government positions that are highly paid and redundant. And that's what we're seeing is a lot of the redundancy being eliminated. At the same time, are we doing it the right way? Because are we getting rid of essential positions simply because we need to do something? So I really want people to understand that part of what we have going on here is we're downsizing. You know, I have four friends last year that lost their job because company numbers were down. They needed to cut costs, and they lost their jobs. And to a man, it was like, okay, we knew this was coming. We knew that was going to happen. That's just the way business works. If you're hemorrhaging money, you don't keep people on staff that aren't efficient. That any businessman will tell you that. That doesn't make sense. And so since we're running the country as a business, we're looking for where can we be more efficient, right? And that's basically the concept behind DOGE, right? And unless I'm mistaken, and you can pipe in here, Big Money James McCarthy, I think they said there's a DOGE form of government coming to North Dakota. So a committee that's going to look at spending and money in the state of North Dakota. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. It's interesting in that we're trying to reduce the number of people in government, trying to reduce the outlay. But one of the questions I have is, how big is this thing going to get? Are we creating another entity that eventually will be so big that we're back into the same position that we're in right now? And I don't know. I don't know how big DOGE is on the federal level. But these are things that we have to, and we should ask, just because we know that something should happen. And we know, like I said before, I've been in favor of government, first of all, getting out of our lives and getting out of business and getting out of our business, you know? And so I'm taking the wait-and-see approach, but we really have to ask each other, are we doing it the right way? And it shouldn't be that there aren't checks and balances. There isn't accountability. And somebody asked me last week, you know, with your radio show, is it rinse, recycle, and repeat? And I think that when we stop talking about these things, okay, that's where we're going to be in trouble. And so, yeah, I think it's important that we keep this in the forefront, because we can't just sit back and just give a blank slate. I'm sorry, but Elon Musk is not an elected official. But he has access to sensitive information. And my question is, are you okay with that? Are people okay with Elon Musk having so much power and sitting next to what we consider the most powerful man in the world? You know, why not Bill Gates? You know, why not Jeff Bezos? Not, you know, we just said this is going to be the guy. The second part is, are you okay with somebody sitting in that seat benefiting in a major way from having ties to the government? And let's face it, SpaceX is probably going to be a part of the space program. Okay? Tesla is probably going to be, in some way, get government contracts. So are you okay with this man having this much power, being having this much access, and then getting government contracts? And I'm interested to hear what people's opinions are, because, you know, we talked during the Biden administration, we talked about nepotism and also the Trump administration. I talked about both of them. The fact that family members having access to the president, you know, Hunter Biden clearly isn't qualified to run anything, but he had access to the most powerful man in the world, and the stuff that happened there, so much so that he ended up getting pardoned, and that didn't sit well with people. Well, how do we feel about this situation going on now? So I want people to call in, and I want to hear your thoughts on it, because these are the things that we need to talk about. So the second thing I want to do is I want to congratulate Mason Claybo of the Davies Eagles basketball team. He's now the official record holder in the state of North Dakota. He broke the record yesterday. Wonderful young man. Absolutely fantastic young man. He's very humble. And I'm going to say this as a former athlete and having access to great athletes, is he falls in the line of one of those guys. He's kind of like a Jeff Brintram. If you didn't know who Jeff Brintram was, very humble guy, but he was one of the greatest Bison quarterbacks of all time. But he's very humble, down to earth. You know, a lot of those guys, a lot of superstars are like that. And congratulations to Mason. He falls in that category. A nice kid, you know, smart. It's sad that, you know, he couldn't be smart enough to attend Morehead State. But that's another conversation or another day. But anyway, I wanted to recognize him, because we need to give shout-outs to young people in the community doing great things. And Big Game James already set him up against the break. So when we come back, I also have some shout-outs. I was at the Dynasty Elite Football Banquet at the end of the year, and a lot of great things are happening with Dynasty. So this show, we're going to talk some 2025. We're going to talk about your thoughts on the government, as well as how do you feel about Elon Musk sitting at the right hand of the president. This is John Adams for Talk of the Town. If you want to call in, the phone number is 701-29000 or you can email us, studio at wdayradionow.com. Donald Nash, Big D Nash, welcome to the show. Gary Perrow, welcome to the show. Hey, welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. Are we live? Welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I'm going on and on. First, like I said, I wanted to give a shout-out to Mason Clable. He's now the record holder. He went over 2,000 points for boys basketball in the state of North Dakota, and he's not finished. And it was fun watching him, and can't wait to see what he's going to do next. This guy has amazing talents on the court, as well as being a good student and a good person. So, like I said, I got to attend, and for those of you guys that don't know, I'm the president of Dynasty Elite Athletics, which is a football program, okay, that serves grades 4 through 8. And we also have cheerleading 4 through 8. And what we do is we give young people an opportunity to participate in football and cheerleading that might not otherwise get an opportunity. And in the name, we say elite, and a lot of people think it's the best of the best, okay? Now, we do get a lot of those kids, but we also get entry-level and beginner people that want to be involved, young people that want to be involved in football. And so I wanted to talk to people about it because I can remember my wife sitting down with the boys about this time of year, and they would talk about what's going to happen this summer. Well, hey, Ma, you know, what do you want to be involved in? And so I thought this would be also a good time to talk about Dynasty because this past year we were highly successful in what we wanted to accomplish. And we had teams travel to Tennessee to play on the national stage, and they showed very well. Our 13U team won our league champion, the premier youth league out of Minneapolis. So a lot of great things happened with Dynasty. Okay, and I wanted to bring it up because we need to be providing opportunities. Now, we do have FM Athletics in the community. It's two different entities doing two different things, but I think that they are both vital and necessary, and that's why I signed on at Dynasty. Nick and Heidi Hawkins and their board, we just completed our fourth year. And all the kids that started with Dynasty, we had some alumni come back and speak at the banquet, and some of our alumni had impacts at the high school level, and it was just all around a great experience. You know, in these times when we harp about what we're not seeing in the community and all these different things that go on, to go to a banquet and see love and respect and remember that season. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the coaches and the people behind the scenes that make these entities go. And now we're strictly a charitable donation, charitable organization. So the operations budget and everything comes from sponsorship and area partners in the community. So I wanted to give a shout out, first of all, to all the players, all the coaches, the staff and the board. Thank you guys for a wonderful year. If you have youth that are interested in football or cheerleading, you can get a hold of me, or you can go to the Dynasty website on Facebook, or you can just look up DynastyEliteAthletic.com. Our website is there. All the information is there. Coming up, we're going to have some skills camps. We're going to have some youth camps, a bunch of different activities over the spring, getting ready for the summer. And move from there. So, with that being said, we're going to move back to what are your thoughts on Elon Musk? And I won't call him an ordinary citizen because anything but ordinary. But how do you feel about someone? For to me, I don't know that he's been vetted. You know, there's a process that you're supposed to go through to be a part of the federal government, and surprisingly. It's like this guy is just there. And so if you want to call in, by the way, the phone number is 701-293-9000. That's it. Yeah, 293-9000. But to me, it seems like there wasn't enough of a process. I mean, you think about it. When we when we have positions that need to be filled, people have to go before Congress and they have to testify and they're vetted. You know, when it comes to Supreme Court justices, they are vetted. And it seems to me like we went from regime change to this guy is in charge of a lot of stuff. Okay, and he's doing a lot of stuff. And for me, I'm a little apprehensive behind it because with the Supreme Court's decision to basically grant the president full immunity, the question is, where are the checks and balances for DOJ and this entity that's created? For me, I don't hear enough coming out of Congress, a lot of action coming out of Congress. You know, on either side was Democrat, Republican. Now, I got to tell you, I have watched a lot. I've watched way more Fox News than I care to, just to understand what people are saying. Okay? I watch CNN, so I watch both sides just to understand. You know, and it's funny because when I talk about 2025, a lot of the values that they espouse and a lot of the concepts that they want to employ, they seem really great on their face. You know? I mean, a lot of it's like, hey, you want smaller government? Yeah. You want our country to be safe? Yeah. But the implementation, the execution, to me, is where we need to be asking questions. I don't think we need to protest, but we need to have those checks and balances. Now, we are going to have collateral damage. That is just a fact. Anytime you try to change something, you know, in war they call it friendly fire. Sometimes this happens. But in order to make change, yes, some people are going to be negatively impacted. But my big question is, are all people being impacted equally? Is this DOGE entity being applied across all areas of government? And right now I see our citizens being more impacted than any other in any other than any other area. You know? Here we have the head of DOGE. I think he's in line for some government contracts or has received some. Well, shouldn't we be looking into that? I remember how much money did we make, Cheney and Halliburton make during the Iraq wars? You know, and the great thing about revisionist history or history is that we can go back and see that war is big business. Okay, but you know what else is big business? The government. We're giving away millions and billions of dollars to these corporations, and the question is it being used to the benefit of the government? And I have friends that have done business with the government, and I can tell you that it's like, oh, you know what? This is what we're going to charge them because we can. Where is the watchdog in this situation? It's something that I think we need to keep an eye on. And I, you know, I don't want to be an alarmist, but this is called just doing your due diligence. You know, if we're making an investment in the government and honestly saying we want to do better and we want it different, then we need to also make sure that it's moving in the right direction in the right way. So that's my view on that. But, you know, I'm interested to know what you guys have to say about it. On the local level, I noticed that we're trying to get the homeless situation solved, and I want to ask people, how many of you know how much surplus money the state has in the funds, and the one that's most popular is the legacy fund. You know, what is the interest rate that we make on the legacy fund? You know, and how was the legacy fund geared up? And I can tell you it's geared more to serve the needs of business than it is to serve the needs of the public. And we actually had a vote where we're going to ease up and have a little more access to that money. The question is, who's determining where it goes and how it's used? And are we building things for the long run where, oh, you scared me, James. Are we building things in the right way so that we don't get in a COVID spending situation where during COVID we had federal money to do some of the things that we needed to do, and city leaders decide, yep, we're going to do this, and we did it. But now that the COVID money run out, now we've got some hard decisions to make. And some of the commissioners that are on the commission right now understood that the money would run out. They voted for certain programs to be in place. But in doing so, they didn't look far enough to say, how are we going to fund this? How are we going to maintain our budget after the federal funds run out? Big Game James says we're up against the break. So if you want to call in, the phone number is 701-293-9000. Feel free to call it if you have an opinion. Thank you and have a good day. Welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I have been talking all things. not all things, but my focus has been on Elon Musk and what exactly he's been tasked to do and where is the oversight. You know, I think it's very important that we keep that in mind. Along the lines of oversight is what I consider the eroding of freedoms, okay? We have to be careful, all right? When we have one person or one entity within the government that can erode the liberties that we enjoy, if it goes too far, where's the tipping point to where we can't get back and we don't have a handle on it? You know, and I want you guys to consider what I call union busting that's going on here, and look up what's happened in Utah. Okay, and I don't know how much you guys know about Utah politics, but it seems that from my reading that Utah is a state where it's pretty conservative, and a lot of the more conservative values play out there in real time. Okay, and one of the big things that's going on with the unions is the state has voted to limit the way that the unions can negotiate. Okay? Now, I talked about it before, but who is protecting the workers? All right? And I talked about truckers, and I talked about longshoremen and all these different entities, the people that actually make the United States go. We need to be careful. Because if we don't have people that speak for the everyday working person, okay, the most notable, and I'm sure you guys have heard about it, is what's happening at Amazon. They are actively going to the workers who are saying, hey, we need better working conditions, right? And they are actively breaking up these meetings. And so I don't know anybody that goes to a job and they see something that's wrong and just says, well, that's not my problem. You know, I've got a job. Either we get involved or what do? We quit, right? Well, Amazon is a pretty big company, employ a lot of people, and by all accounts, they're not like Costco. You know, I have friends that work at Costco, and they rave about the way that Costco treats its employees. I don't have firsthand knowledge, but I assume that they're telling me the truth. They're not like a Shields, who I think is a model for that a lot of businesses should look at and look to emulate. And there are going to be some people that disagree, but since I work there, I can tell you that as a former employee, I've never seen anything like it before or since. You know, an employee-owned company, you know, their ESOP, they're providing for their employees for the future. Now, the work is demanding and it's not easy, but it's an employee-first organization. And my question is, why can't we have that in business across the board? you know? And I think it just comes down to greed, and it comes down to the person who runs the company. You know, how much money do you actually need? Which there are a number of different areas that we could talk about in that we're seeing some things happen in the United States where, you know, we say the eroding of the middle class. We see that education, people are saying there's a problem with education. We're the least educated. The funny thing is, they go to the worst places, like Detroit. I hear Detroit all the time, and they have the graph up about how much money they've been spending versus return on investment in terms of kids, and that's Detroit, okay? But you go to other areas, and you see that not only is education really kicking butt, we're turning out some magnificent people. But how do you disseminate all of this? And I like to say, on this show, I'm just a messenger. And the idea is, we got to think about this. I'm not here to sway you because guess what? Your opinions and your the way you think is the way you think. You know? And I have a son who believes in this administration, and we talk back and forth, and we have dialogue, and I respect his opinions on some things. You know? On some points, I think he is right. Right on point. But we have to have that dialogue. So anyway, in talking about this Doge thing, it has me saying where are the checks and balances and that we should be concerned. So with that, I want you guys to consider one other thing. Okay? Big Game James says we have a caller on the line. Go ahead and run them through. Hello?
I'm here.
Good morning. Hello, sir. What can I do for you today?
Johnny Two Fingers.
Yes, sir. This must be Rock Anderson.
What's up, man? How you doing, bro?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, you know, trying to get the information out to the people.
I hear you. I don't know if I'm heard online or not, or on the radio or not, but...
Oh, yeah.
You can hear me? Okay, good.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah, man, I was just calling, you know, because I've listened to your show. I listen to your show all the time. And, you know, we talk offline quite often about different things, especially government and spending and Doge and so on and so forth. Personally, no problem with Elon. Go ahead and do your thing. My stock price, their stock price with Tesla is continuing to go up. Unfortunately, it's gone down a little bit over the last couple of months, but I still believe in him, and I believe in what he's doing. I think he knows how to run a company, and I'm waiting to see how that plays out with our government. But from a selfish standpoint, no problem with Elon Musk and him and his position with the government.
Okay. Well, I won't say I agree. My problem that I have with it is accountability. Okay, and I think that there needs to be something in place. You know, have you been to the Doge website? I found this interesting. I went to the Doge website and tried to pull up the facts that the things that they've been throwing out as facts. Based on what I've seen, I couldn't run a business based on that website. Okay, so if we're handing this guy the keys to the kingdom. And the website is supposed to provide information about Doge and the entity. Just go and look at it. Okay? And I always say...
I agree.
Yeah, well,
I agree.
There's
absolutely no accountability. I agree that there is no transparency, which is what they sold us, bringing him into that consulting position. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. There should be more transparency. There should be some checks and balances. He should be elected for that position versus just giving the keys to some of our most sensitive information for the population. But I think that in time we'll see that what he's doing is probably a good thing for the country. Mm-hmm. I just wonder where that money is going to be redirected to. That's my only concern.
Well, the idea is now the flip side. Is the idea is if we're saving this money, we're going to pay down debt. which you and I both know, where everybody should be happy about that, you know? Mm-hmm. My concern is that it's kind of like the trickle-down theory and Donald Trump's tax plan. Everybody was excited that, you know, if you made less than $400,000, you got a $400 tax break. If you were if you were above that amount, your tax break was significantly more. And it benefited people that already had money. So giving me $400 a month, $400 a year, is not really a windfall that's really going to make a huge difference. Okay? But if I'm making way less, I'm like, you know, like Tony Garrick was talking about how his home taxes went up $100 and it was difficult. You know, he had to figure out how he's going to do that. Well, for people that are in that predicament, oh, yeah, hey, great. They do care about us. But my thing is, this tax plan is about to end. And when this tax plan ends, a bunch of things are going to happen where taxes are going to go up. Okay? In addition to that, the corporate structure and the corporate tax system, we reduce taxes on corporations by 15%. Where is the money being put back into these business with more jobs, right? That was the idea. If we save these corporations money, we're going to build back America better, okay? Now, we've been under Donald Trump's tax plan for 4 years. Does it look like workers have benefited from what they said was going to happen?
Absolutely not. You and I both know better than that. However, after their interview last night, Donald Trump and Elon Musk, I saw this morning that each American citizen was going to get back not $400, but $2,000. Did you hear that?
I did not. I did not see the interview. I was at a basketball game doing some chaperoning. But, hey, listen, I want you to stay on. We got to go to break. Do you have time to stay for the last final segment? Because sure. I want to touch on the tax planning. And something that will directly affect all of us. And then I also want to get your take on how do we fund America if we're not taking in the taxes that we need to do what we need to do? Are we going to be able to meet that need with what DOGE is doing? If you want to call in, the phone number is 701-293-9000. Welcome back to Talk of the Town with John Adams. I have been talking Elon Musk. Well, Eric Hansen, welcome to the show. I've been talking about Elon Musk and government oversight as well as accountability. My good friend, the Dark Knight, Mr. Anderson, called in. And are you still there, Mr. Anderson?
I'm still here.
Okay, so it's funny because I was going to talk about Project 2025 and Elon Musk became the topic of the day. Have you had any time to look at Project 2025? Because there are some of the tenets of 2025 that I'm just like, whoa. You know, I talk about civil liberties and being able to maintain what we consider freedoms. And so have you had a chance to look at that?
I have. I have spent a little time skimming that that information. I haven't delved into it too deeply, but I've skimmed it.
So one of the things is I have a problem with censorship, okay? And Donald Trump said in running for president, I am going after everybody that attacked me. I'm going after everybody who said anything that had anything to say about me and my business. And he called it a witch hunt, and everybody jumped on the bandwagon. And I think to a certain degree, I think he was justified because the government should not be weaponized in any fashion. But now that he's in office, I see a higher weaponization of, I mean, just look at the people that, and he's openly said, this person did this when they were in office and they're gone. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, his entire second term has been retaliatory thus far. Yeah, he's going to go after those that went after him or try to bring light to some of the things that he's done. So it's, yes, it's completely retaliatory. And as far as your question about agenda, the 2025, yeah, he's the playbook. He is putting it in play step by step by step, and it's only going to get worse.
Well, some people would say it's got. Matter of fact, I had a friend tell me say it's going to get worse before it gets better, and just going down the list. And so last year, Donald Trump actually claimed that he had little to do with Project 2025 and basically distanced
himself. You didn't know anything about it, according to him. Oh, I don't know anything about this document.
Yes.
What are you talking about?
Yes, and distanced himself. And now, as I look at it, there are a couple things that have happened that it's like it's the playbook, and they're running it to a T. Okay, they're basically the Philadelphia Eagles right now. So one of the big things, as you know, is immigration. And the mass deportations have begun, right? And I don't have a problem with that. But what I do have a problem with is it's not applied equally across all countries. Okay? We're only talking, all you hear is about South Americans being deported. I haven't heard anything about Europeans being deported. The Muslim community, nothing, like I said, nothing out of Europe. So it's like, wait a minute. As a minority, I'm like, hey, the hammer is falling on people of color. Okay. And I'm not trying to muckrake or anything like that. But all you have to do is look at who they're putting on planes. Now, you can't tell me that those are the only illegal immigrants that are in this country. So the question is this the future where we're just targeting certain groups? And as you know, if you're part of that group, if you're not part of that group, but you're in that category, how long is it before they get to you? And then the second part is there are people that are being targeted that look like that group that are actually citizens in the United States. That are actually naturalized citizens. And so it's like this is all information that, for me, this is bothersome. It's bothersome because socioeconomically, and it's funny because the poor are equally targeted, and we know when it comes to crime statistics that bears itself out, not necessarily along the lines of color, but it's something that we have to talk about. And I think the biggest single thing that I see now is I have people telling me, get over it. Get over it. You don't need to focus on what happened 20, 30 years ago. It's a new day and age. You know, this needs to happen. So you should just, the guy is doing the job, just live with it. And I think
that's a part of the racist playbook, man. Just get over it.
Well, it's not just race. It's not just race. Go ahead.
And erase the history behind it. That's the playbook. Hey, I had nothing to do with it. That happened so long ago. And just get over it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it always plays out. So you don't have to call it racist. I will.
Well, then what? Okay. So then let's look at the rollback. Let's look at the rollback and Roe v. Wade. Okay. That's why I said targeted groups. As a woman, well, I'm not a woman, but I'm saying if I were a woman, I'm looking at this and I'm going, hey, wait a minute. How is this the playbook? You know, other areas, censorship. Right now there, I think it's PBR, public radio or whatever it is. I hear that that's being defunded or whatever you want to call it. But we have to be careful of the censorship that's going on right now. Okay? Because in most dictatorships, once you start censorship and you can dictate what the people hear, okay, you can change the narrative. And I always say that the Trump administration is a lot like Nike. They poured a lot of money to advertising. They have catchy slogans. They have things that their constituents can hang their hats on. And all the while, are you looking at the smokescreen? You know, and we got a lot of people that think this is exactly the way the country should be. But for those of us who are
what
affected,
do they look like?
Excuse me?
I said, what do they look like? Do they look like Trump or do they look like you?
Well, based on the Hispanic vote, the 60% of the Hispanics that voted, they don't look like Trump, but they have those views. So guess what? These are all things that Big Game James says we're up. Mr. Anderson, I want to thank you for calling in. But these are the things that we need to talk about and we need to be vigilant about. You know, the United States is not going to collapse. I could tell you that. But guess what? We need to make sure that we have accountability within government. This has been John Adams for Talk of the Town. Tune in next week for another show. And as always, stay black.